North Rock Podcast.
All right, I want to introduce to you guys our speakers. They're not really our guests because they're part of our family. But John and Gina Horner are going to be sharing with us today about not just what God is doing through their new church plant in Erie, but just what God has put on their heart about family. And as they come up, I just want to share a quote that always reminds me of these two. And the quote says, "Do everything with passion or don't do it at all." And every time I see that, I think of John and Gina because they're just such passionate people in how they love God, passionate in how they serve God, passionate in how they pursue their friendships, pursue people, passionate in how they dance at weddings, passionate in how they sing karaoke. Passionate people, and two of my favorite people in the world. I love them so much. Please welcome home John and Gina Horner.
So before we get into our message, we want to do a couple of things. The very first thing is just to say thank you. Thank you so much to North Rock and the support that you've had for this church plant. There's absolutely no way that we could be doing any of this without the support of you guys. And then somebody else here in the room, Chad Carroll, has been absolutely just incredible in his support of us. He sent us through training twice because we needed it. he has been a coach to us, so all along the way, having meetings with me sometimes weekly. If not, whenever I needed it, if I would just say, "Hey, Chad, can we meet?" he would say, "Absolutely, yes." I've had more Mexican food in the last year than could be, but we want to say thank you so much to Chad and to North Rock Church for your support of what we're doing here. Thank you, guys. Thank you. You should give yourselves a hand. And
yes. Yeah. And I want to say thank you, too. Just there's a lot of people in the room, I think, that just in the last year have been so precious to us. I know that Di has helped us with a million questions. Oh, my gosh. We're like that kid in school that won't stop raising their hand, all of us. Sarah is our finance person, so she's probably called. We've called a million times. So I appreciate your patience. And I sat in the office with Lori one day and just had her download everything that she knew. And it was pretty ridiculous, all the information that I was trying to gather from her. And so I just appreciate that, too. And so there are just a lot of things. Yesterday, as we were worshiping, gosh, I don't know why I want to cry. Yesterday, while we were worshiping, it was just like, I felt Lord say, you know, open with thanks. And I just was thinking while I was standing there, just all of the firsts that happened here. And we had said yesterday that Chad was the first one to hire us as actual pastors and gave us our first shot, which was risky because he didn't know us. And then also this was the first place I preached at. And I'd spoken before at Women's Things, but never at a weekend service. And so Sam was the first one to say, "Yeah, all right, you can do it." And so I can't tell you how that shifted my life. I found out that that's something that I really love. And to have people backing me and saying, as a woman, yes, this is okay. And so I'm very thankful for that. And I felt like God reminded me of that yesterday. And so there's just a lot of things. Sadie was going into first grade when we got here. And that's crazy. She's 13. She's going to be 13 in December. And so there's just a lot of amazing things. Had our first youth group, got in trouble several times for things you shouldn't have done. And so we won't.
Chad, actually, did you call me? Did you do that? Yes, I did.
That was awesome. I forgot that was Chad. Oh, my gosh.
That's not okay to do that.
That's
right.
Awesome. He was like, "Don't do that again." So anyways.
So we're gonna stand up here, and we get to share all the awesome stuff that God's doing through Centerpoint. But it's not just us that have made this happen. There's so many here that have helped, an awesome team, an awesome district that's behind us. And so we just wanted to open up saying thank you.
Your video.
Yeah. So really quickly, to introduce Centerpoint to you, we have a quick video that kind of gives the vision of what God's been doing.
I did it again.
About Centerpoint Community Church. My wife Gina and I, along with an amazing team of people, are seeing this great vision come to pass. What we feel called to is to know God, love people, and to go make something beautiful. When they asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was, he said, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." And I believe, especially in the area that we're called to, The greatest obstacle to that is that people don't actually know God. They know of Him or they know a form of Him, but they don't know the loving Father who cares deeply individually for them. The second thing we're called to is to love people. We're called to love them from where they've been to where they are right now and to where they're going. Which leads us into the third thing, that is to go make something beautiful. We know that God has put everybody here on purpose with a purpose. And it's our heart to help them find exactly what that is and release them into their God dreams. So that's the basic vision of Centerpoint Community Church. God bless you. So just to share some of the awesome stuff that's happening, one of the big things that I feel like is just an absolute testament that God is behind this and it's not me, is the amount of money that's come in to raise this thing. I came to Chad, and he kind of was like, "What are some of your goals? What do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, we want to raise $100,000." And he was like, "All right." And I was like saying it out loud, it's one thing to think like, "Oh man, wouldn't that be cool?" And what we've seen come in so far is $75,000 that has actually come in so far, and we're going to get there. We're going to get to the 100, right? Like, so as a youth pastor, I think one time I raised 1,000. That's my ability. That's what can happen if I put my back behind it. But God has just so been amazing. In fact, even this last week, we had some friends that said they wanted to meet with us. And so you're always like, okay, cool. You want to meet with us? We had no idea why they wanted to meet with us. So they sat down and they were like, "Well, our marriage is just really, and she played it off like that's why they were there. It wasn't there. Their marriage was fine. But these friends of ours that are pastors, they're just hardworking people, wrote out a check for $10,000 this week. So to see the miraculous stuff, and these people, there's some people that you're like, yeah, you could write out a $10,000 check. These aren't people that have it like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not people that are just like, and they just, it's just their heart to give and to be generous. And so it's been so cool to see, and when people say, "Hey, I believe in you," like, that's awesome. When people are willing to invest like that in you, it just blows you away, and it's so cool to see God come through time and time and time again. So that's been really cool, an awesome celebration of just God saying, "Yep, I'm with you, you can do this." Yeah, and the other thing is raising people. So we've had a goal of 35 adults, and for 35 adults to follow me and Gina, you don't know what you're getting into. And half of the people who have signed up, they're like, "We're in. We don't know what it's going to be. It's probably going to be fun, but we're in." So we're at 31 now. We just got an email with like 4 more people. We're at 31 adults. We're going to get to 35, and we're going to launch this church with some momentum, and we're going to do some difference in Erie. We're going to make a difference. So we're so excited, and we're going to talk today about family. So there's a lot of different family metaphors. We're birthing out of North Rock Church. We take the DNA with us to North Rock Church, and we become brother and sister churches. We're excited to talk today about what the vision of family could be like. There's so often, and when you hear that word family, there's a lot of different reactions that happen. Some people are like, "Yeah, family, awesome." Some people are like, "I'm good. I got enough family. I don't need another crazy uncle that shows up drunk to the barbecue." You know what I'm saying? We promise as a church to try not to be that drunk uncle that shows up to the barbecue. We want to be healthy brothers and sisters. But that's for real. Yeah, maybe, right? So that's for real. Like, when you hear that metaphor of family, the enemy has got in there and messed with that. And what we want to do is look at what that looks like to be healthy brother and sister churches, what that looks like to be healthy family. And as we were thinking about this metaphor, we got excited about it, and Gina had like this cool story of family that she wanted to tell you.
So anyways, growing up, this was my last name, and we always heard about a cousin. We never knew him or met him, but that did boxing, and they called him the Ghost Guerrero. And we had heard about him at family reunions and all of these things, and so we would kind of get excited about it. And so, comes up again that all my cousins start calling and they're like, "Oh my gosh, did you know that Mayweather is going to fight Guerrero?" And we loved boxing growing up. When I was in college, my grandpa would send me the VHS tape and I would watch it in my dorm room with like a bunch of guys because no other girls really want to watch boxing but me. And so, anywho, so I was laughing because all of a sudden we identified with this person, okay? And now when I say he is my cousin, my grandpa has 13 brothers and sisters. So it is one of his brothers' sons, son, son. Okay.
Maybe.
So anyways, he was my cousin, right? So it like became this identity thing. Like, I don't care what you say, that's my cousin. So I kind of got a little crazy about it. Me and my brother would talk about it and hear what we've heard. And then we watched the behind the scenes thing about the boxing match and each person. And
Gina was praying for him.
I got serious about it, you guys. I got serious about it. And so anyways, I just had to laugh because I will never meet this person. Okay, if I came up to him and said, "Hi, I'm your cousin, and my last name is Guerrero," he would not know me. But the point of it was, is God was like, he was a part of your family. So you identified with him and you were proud. You were proud to call him family. You were proud of him because he was a part of you. And that's the way we're supposed to feel about each other. We are supposed to say, "Oh my gosh, have you heard what's going on in Thornton? That church is lighting up the darkness." If I run into somebody who is like, "Oh, you know what? I live over here on Grant Street and whatever," I should be pumped because I have a family member who has a church that is lit up for Jesus, and I want you to go there. That should be my genuine heart, is that I may not ever meet this cousin. I will never meet that cousin. But it gave me identity. It gave me something to feel like, that's my family. And that's how we should feel. We should feel excited. Now, I go to the grocery store and shop for things, you know, and there's a lot of selection in each aisle. And when it comes to tortillas, there's a lot, right? You can kind of pick all kinds of tortillas. Well, there's one tortilla that I always pick. Because that's my last name, you guys. Now, do I know these people? No. Do I get any money from this tortilla company? No. But it makes me feel like this is a part of me. I'm proud of it. I buy them every single time. You will always see Guerrero tortillas in our house, and they have nothing to do with us at all. But it's family. It makes it feel like family. So I feel excited about it every time I see it.
And we want to look at what churches, you know, how that should be. What does that mean to be family? And there are three things that we came up with that we feel like that we should own. And the first one, the thing that family really offers is protection. At least it should. And some of you may not have experienced that. I was thinking back to high school, and I'm 3 years older than my younger brother, Zach. And when I was a senior, I was a captain of the football team, fullback. Like, you weren't going to mess with me, right? And if you were going to mess with me, you weren't going to mess with my friends, because my friends were like, you know, 6'1", 300-pound, D1 lineman for Nebraska Cornhuskers, right? So we have a little freshman that has all this protection. So what does that give him? That gives him license. He can be as mouthy as he wants, right? Like, there are no sophomores, juniors, or seniors that are going to mess with him at all. And so what he knew and what family should offer is protection. He knew that he could say whatever he wanted, which, you know, not that we're going to be the mouthy church that just is just like off there saying whatever we want to, but what family should offer is a sense of protection. And when it talks about, and this has been said in this house over and over and over again, in Ecclesiastes 4:10, if one person falls, the other one can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. That applies to our churches too. If North Rock floods, Center Point floods. We're down here to help with whatever needs. If there's a big event going on where there's a couple volunteers short, Centerpoint is here to help. And the same way we know is true, that we've got a big brother down here in Thornton that if we need something, man, you guys are here to resource us and resource you. And we should offer a sense of protection. That's a big thing that should come from family, is a sense of protection.
So the scripture that we were also looking at is the Jesus with his family. And so his mothers and brothers showed up but couldn't go through him because of the crowd. He was given the message, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are the ones who hear of and do God's word. Obedience is thicker than blood." And I love that story, because if you pull yourself out of that, imagine Jesus in a crowd, and imagine that that's your brother or your son, and you're trying to get to him. And you feel like you have some claim on that because it's your brother and your son. So you're walking towards the crowd and you're wanting him to know that you're there. And so you start tapping on the disciples. And finally it gets to Jesus, and somebody says, "Hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers, they're here." And there's nothing like Jesus when he rebukes in public, like, "No, thank you." He steps back and says, "What? Like, these are my mother and my brothers. This is my family. And so basically he was saying, like, I'm loyal to this. And it says, obedience is thicker than blood. That's powerful. And it was so powerful back then because back in those times in the Jewish culture, family meant loyalty. That was a really big deal for him to say that about his own family and to put loyalty to his church family.
So this isn't just an idea that we have. This is straight from the mouth of Jesus, that family is important. How we interact with each other is important. Mm-hmm. And as we were thinking about the second thing that family should mean as a church, we came up with identity.
Yeah. It's been fun because over the last year, we've been able to kind of go to different churches and see just kind of how they do church. And we've talked to a lot of church planters because how many know you need as much information when you're doing this as you can possibly get? And so it's been really cool because every time I'm there, I'm asking the Lord, what do they bring? What is it that this church brings? And just seeking God for their anointing and going to these churches and saying, oh my gosh, look how they've been able to connect people back to God who've been hurt by the church. Wow, like that is such an anointing. And starting to look at churches like that. Honestly, I go here and I think, man, okay, what is this church anointed to do? And instead of looking at it like this comparison thing, like, oh, we do this and they do that and we don't do that. And you know, comparison, it's two things. You're either better than the person you're comparing yourself to, or you're insecure and you're worse than the person you're comparing yourself to. That's the only option you get when you compare. It never allows for you to enjoy someone else's anointing or see what they're gifted at. And so we were thinking about that, talking about our kiddos. And have you ever been, I've been a part of families where you can tell that the parents have a favorite or there's one kid that they like better than everyone else. And it creates this strife, this discord in the family. It creates this feeling of the kids not knowing their place or being honored for who they are. And I was thinking, we had Sadie and Ella in here last night, and I was looking at them and thinking, okay, so according to my own kids' anointings, what would their churches look like? So we got Sadie. Okay, so this thing's gonna need to be organized. Right? It's going to need to be organized. It's going to need to have leadership. It's going to need to have small groups. It's going to need to have steps to get to where you're going. I mean, it would be an organized church, but it would be beautiful, and it would be anointed, and it would be exactly what it's supposed to be. Ella, they'd have to fit karaoke into it somewhere. But it would be fun, and it would have worship, and it would be all about people, and it would be compassion, and that would be her church, and it would be exactly what it was supposed to be. It would be anointed, and it would be exactly who and what it was supposed to be. Now, Sam would be the most encouraging church in the world you've ever been to in your whole life. Because every morning Sam gets up, we say, Sam, how'd you sleep? He says, great! And it's like become this hilarious thing to us.
Hey, buddy, how's your day?
Great! Everything. How was your lunch? It was great. Everything. And so I was listening to Joyce Myers, and she said, you know, I go to these conferences, and she said, there's six of us there, and each of us play our own part. She said, you know, I go in there, I'm Joyce Myers, and I tear you down. I get you to look at your stuff, and I keep it real with you, and then, you know, I try to make you look at it, get right with Jesus, and get right here. She says, then Joel Osteen comes on stage and encourages you right back up, right? Because everybody plays their part, and I thought such wisdom on her part to understand that each of them is there with their own anointing to bring what they're supposed to bring. And so somebody who is secure in who they are with God doesn't need to walk in insecurity. And so we can look over at North Rock and say, oh my gosh, they are really doing something great. Like nobody loves people. And I feel this way. Nobody loves people like North Rock. And if that's something that I've learned here, that is a gift that I have learned here that I am so thankful for. But then I can go to another church and say, oh my gosh, the way that they evangelize like that, oh my goodness, that's an anointing. And so it's just a beautiful way to really look at it.
Yeah. So we're not starting Centerpoint, the best church ever. We're starting Centerpoint, the church that God's called us to be.
That's
There's
right.
no comparison between our church and any other church. We're just going to be who God's called us to be. The final thing that family offers is a future. You know, the family is God's design for life to continue on earth. And I want to acknowledge that takes something from the parents. How many of you are parents in here? When I got the bill from the hospital for having one kid, I was like, did we go to Hawaii twice? I don't, what? And like school season is here again? oh my gosh, how many clothes do you need? Two girls? Not to mention weddings coming up and all that other stuff. How many of you know continuing life is expensive? And I want to acknowledge that in North Rock. Like, you guys have given. You guys have given awesome people. There are awesome people that came from this church, and it costs something. But you know the cool thing that it does? Is it keeps a generous heart in front of you. We were just sitting around with a neighbor the other day. With Garrett. And, Gina was talking about her friend Sarah, who's been a friend of ours for a long time. And she was like, you know, I almost brought Sarah over here to introduce you. She's still single. And he started talking, and we were like, maybe I won't introduce you to Sarah.
He was like, she doesn't want kids, does she?
Yeah, she doesn't want kids. You know, they're its until they learn how to take care of themselves.
Yeah, that was the next comment.
He or she's.
I was like,
and
just
it was
kidding.
Like, oh, man, you need kids to make you unselfish.
He was like, she doesn't have pets, does she? I was like, oh, my goodness.
Wow, maybe we won't bring you over. But that's the truth. That's the truth. Anybody who's ever taken care of kids, whether you're a parent or not, even if you've just cared for kids, you know, man, it's expensive. And I want to honor this house. I want to acknowledge the price that North Rock has paid and has paid over the years. This isn't the first church plant to come out of North Rock. There's a history of that. There's a legacy of planting churches. And we just want to say thank you, because there is a cost involved. But the beautiful thing is, the shade that comes from that, a family tree that's built well, there's just this beauty in when I look at Sadie and when I look at Ella and Sam, like I get to think about them having kids. We're going to be a church that plants churches, and you guys have a stake in that. You guys have a stake in the future. And the beautiful thing is, there's only two things in this world. The Bible lives on forever, and His church, our souls, live on forever. You guys are investing in something eternal. And even though it's not easy, even though it's difficult, even though there's a cost to it, we're so grateful for the sacrifice. And that life continues to come from that.
And just celebrating that we're all from the same root, mm-hmm. you know? And we were laughing because sometimes the whole family thing again, we were talking the other day, and I have this mentor that I'm mentoring with for 30 days in August, and she's out of Bethel, and she's doing this thing about helping your kids hear God and whatever. So every day we do an assignment, and so she sends us out this little package that has a little fun things in it that you can do with your kids every day that kind of represents who God is and how we can hear Him. And so I was looking at all of them, because you don't know what they're used for until she gives you the assignment, and then you do the assignment with your kids. And so I was looking through the little package of seeing all this stuff, and I came across, I brought it today. Came across this little carabiner, and so in my head I'm like, oh, I wonder what that carabiner's for, that's interesting, you know. And so then all of a sudden I look at it, and I was like, oh my gosh, it says Foursquare Disaster Relief. So she must have gotten this from something Foursquare did. But it was just this moment. I was like, oh my gosh, we did this, right? I was like, we made tortillas. We fought in boxing. It was one of those moments for me, like, this is us. And that's how it should be. Like, that was exciting for me. Did I have anything to do with this? No. You guys, I told myself I'd look it up before I came up here, and I did. I don't even know what it's about. But it says Foursquare on it, so it's me, right? That's part of my family. Yeah. And the other thing,
I've seen Forrest Gump probably 10 times, and I haven't seen it for a while, but the last time I saw it, you know, he's sitting on the bench, and he says, my mama always says that a man can only use so much fortune, the rest is for showing off. He said, so I gave a bunch of it to the Foursquare Gospel Church. I had never heard that before, but that little Alabama church that Bubba went to, that Forrest sang in the choir, was a Foursquare church. And there's something that happens when you recognize that it's family. It's like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. You know, and we're just looking forward to that as being center point, that North Rock is our family, and that we're your family, and that our hearts are connected like that. So that's just kind of our vision for how we want to relate as a church. And we want to relate in that way as a covenant and not a contract.
Amen.
So we're not relating that way if you do this, 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 and this, and this. We're relating that way because we're covenanting with you. It's a forever thing. No matter what happens, this is how we're going to act. Even if things get rough or weird or whatever, this is how we're going to act. And we know that you guys feel, we know that Chad and you guys feel the same way. That, and there's a difference between that. You know, a covenant is a pretty shaky thing, a pretty worldly thing. And the way that God likes to operate, or a contract is a pretty shaky thing. You know, like if you don't do this, how many of you have ever been in a house contract that's like, oh, it's got all these contingencies and all these rules and all that? I love that God operates in the simple way of, yep, this is how I'm going to act no matter what. And so our hearts are just connected with you guys, and we love you guys. And that's kind of our vision for family.
And before we have Chad's going to come up, we just wanted to pray. You know, I was thinking of all the times that when it was dark and I would be in here on Mondays, sitting in here, I'd have all the lights off and I would be praying. And a couple times I was a big old weirdo and like ran across all the seats because I felt like Holy Spirit told me to. And I thought, man, if somebody walks in here right now, what am I going to say? Gina, get off the seats. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So I'm just saying, like, our hearts, man, we've spent hours praying over this church. I've walked, you know, the blocks with Lori all around here for hours. I mean, I don't know how many times we did that, just praying over this area for you guys. And I just believe that there's a bowl in heaven of all the prayers that have gone out, and it's going to pour out. And Tiffany sang that song, God, You're So Good. And the three of us were in here one day having a moment, you know, where all three of you have so much to say and you're like, and then, you know. And I was like, I really feel like we're just supposed to sing, God, You're So Good. And so the three of us sat up here and just worshiped God. And we're like, you know, we started singing. It was awkward at first, so I started out, you know, which should have been Tiffany because she's the one that can sing. So, you know, we just singing, God, You're So Good, the three of us in here, because there were circumstances for us that were crazy, but God is so good. And so I just wanted to pray and just believe that where there's any lack, God is going to make up for that in people and finances and in every situation. And that's our heart for you. So if we can pray, and then we'll go. Father, we'll have Chad come up. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to say thank you. For this moment, Lord, that we could stand up here and love on the people that have loved on us for six years, God. And I ask, Lord, for your favor, God, to just fall in this place, Lord. I ask for supernatural finances, God, like we've never seen before, Jesus. I ask that you would bring the people, God, people who are tried and true, people who have character, God, people who will take things on, Lord, and will follow it through, God. I ask for helpers and laborers, God, and in the field that will link up with the staff and with Chad, and they will just do things that none of us thought were possible. God, I thank you that they are the head and not the tail, God. I thank you that they are above and not below, God. And I thank you by your obedience, Lord, that you will bless them. And when you bless the Israelites, God, it wasn't just so that they could do good things and be blessed, but it was so others could see your glory, God. And then it was also so they could pass that on to the people around them and bless them, God. And I thank you that that is going to be the case here. Father, we just bless this place. We are excited to call them family, Father. And I pray that we would have awesome reunions, God, where we all get together and we celebrate what you're doing in the kingdom through us, through Centerpoint, through North Rock, through Foursquare, through the body of Christ just in general, God. We bless you, Father. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, how many of you guys are glad to be in God's family? How many of you guys are just so thankful that we get to do things like this? I mean, honestly, I couldn't be more excited, more ecstatic, and it is a little counterintuitive to say, okay, Lord, you've called me to be the new lead pastor here at North Rock, and at the same time give away some of our best leaders, not just the John and Gina, but a whole bunch of people that have served here that are going with them to go start a new church. But you know what? That's exactly what I believe that God's called us to do. And it's something that he's done through this church several times in the past. We're going to be introducing you to some other people that have done that in seasons past. So I'm excited about this. And at the same time, you know, just a little sidebar note. Again, lead pastor hat now. Not person who loves John and Gina. It is, we've got some gaps. We got some gaps right now. We've got some seats. We've got some service opportunities. We've got some financial challenges before us that we're going to have to walk through together. But how many of you guys believe that our Father in heaven, who gave his only son so that we could have life, is going to meet every need that we have? There's going to be our but then moment right? Because we're reflecting his character, right? This is his idea, not mine, not John and James. This is his idea. And my dream is that we become a church that's known for more go and less show. More go, less show. That's what we're going to be about. And, you know, again, one of my favorite realities in what we get to do with this is remembering. It's just remembering that there's a season for everything. There's a season for everything. And I've got two little girls at home. One is 9, one is 4. And I love coming home at night, tired after work, and you see them there on the couch, and you just love that moment. You love just being with them. But when they're 35, if they're still on my couch, it's going to be a whole different reaction, right? It's going to be a whole different reaction. And so again, there's a season for everything. And John and Gina, I just want to say how very proud we are of you for the way that you have leaned into Jesus, for the way that you've taken training seriously twice, okay? And then again, they didn't flunk. It wasn't like they were in third grade and we said, no, you got to come back. You didn't pass the proficiency test, right? No, it was more, we just want to make sure that we're taking really good care of you guys and that you know that our commitment, not just as a church, but as a district and as a family of Foursquare churches, that we're getting better. Because, guys, this is kind of hard, isn't it? There's an emotional toll, there's a financial toll, there's an impact that we all feel. But again, we know who is in charge of all this thing, and we know that he does not lack, right? And so part of what I get the privilege of doing is representing our district of Foursquare churches, as well as the new lead pastor here at North Rock, and I present you guys with a big check. So you guys are getting closer and closer and closer to that big boy dream of $100,000 in the bank before we start this church, right? And so I brought with me today a great big check. Okay? Can you guys hold that for me? So I get the privilege, yeah, of on behalf of our district supervisor and founding pastor here, of presenting you guys with a $15,000 check to help you get closer to where you're at. This is a matching funds contribution. And it's a, I don't know if you're going to be able to cash it anywhere. I don't think it's going to fit in the little drop-through slot, you know, so you might have to go in with it and do all that. But they just weren't specific. They didn't say they wanted an actual check. They just said they wanted a big one. So there you go. Got your $15,000 check. Can we just celebrate that before the Lord? Father, we thank you that you are generous and you are good. Yeah, that's good. Well, I did want to just ask anybody who's been part of the staff during their tenure here, anybody that's a part of our current council, we'd like you to come up because what we're celebrating here today, and again, if this is your first time with us or you don't really understand what this is, what's going on here, we're sending off some people that have served on staff, some people that feel that God's given them a larger vision than they can fulfill within the constraints of this particular church, okay? And so thank you for your patience this morning. I hope that you've enjoyed this great opportunity. But the reality is what we're doing is a spiritual act of obedience before the Lord. That we're called to raise up and develop disciples. And then what did Jesus do with his disciples? He sent them out. He said, it's time to go. And so this is a holy moment. This is an opportunity for us to say, God, thank you for the privilege of serving with John and Gina. Lord, thank you for the core team that you've raised up that are going to help them in this place. And Lord Jesus, we just pray. We just pray as we all extend our hands towards them. Again, it's just as a gesture of saying yes and amen. We believe that you want to do something amazing in Erie, Colorado, because you've called them to it, Lord. Father, I pray blessing upon these people, Lord. I pray blessing upon that community. And Lord, I pray that you would give them an ever-unfolding, expanding vision, Lord, for reaching more and more and more. And that as they are sent out as sons and daughters from this particular congregation, Lord, they are a part of your family ultimately. And Lord, we are on point to do your business in this world, your bidding in this world, Lord. And we know that your business in this world is to reach people, to save people, to heal people, to lead people into life. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless them with finances. Lord, you'd bless them with favor in that community. Lord, that they would make an impact immediately in the place that you've called them to. And Lord, we acknowledge that you have given them spiritual authority in that area. Lord, we pray for salvations. We pray for healing. We pray for new works to be started, and that disciples would be raised up and sent out all over the world because they took the risk, because they had the courage to get out of the boat and do something big for your name's sake. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Hey, Ed Bale, guys, can you guys just kind of stay here just for a minute, linger? Ed, I would like to share something.
I feel like God wants to say something. You know, God's word says that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we ask or think. And I know that these are people that certainly have imagination and over the years have imagined things. Have dreamed things, and there are dreams and imaginations right now. But God wants you to know that he's going to go beyond what you're imagining, the things that seem almost impossible that are in your imaginations, that are those things that you set up high. Well, God's going to go beyond that, things that you haven't even imagined. You're going to sit back one time and say, We never even imagined this. And that's how good a God we serve. Amen. So thank God for that.
Come on.
That's good. That's good. And as we close out our services this morning, would you just continue to be in a posture of prayer? As we've done a lot of what we just call family business today. And we've talked about how God's been faithful to raise up and support and develop leaders to the point that we can plant another church again. It's really a celebration of birth, and at the same time, it's an opportunity for us all to ask God, how would you have me to serve in this next season? And so I wanted to just, as the new guy on the block, as the new lead pastor here, say thank you for your faithfulness, thank you for giving, thank you for serving, thank you for leading well, and giving us this opportunity. So. But as we kind of just stay in a posture of prayer with the Lord this morning, I always feel like any time that we're in church, God's speaking to us, both by what's said and what we sing and how things are happening. And so today, this morning, would you just take a moment and would you just grab a hold of whatever that is, whatever your but then is today. I know Tiffany had a great word of the but then. When God shows up, circumstances change. I know John and Gina reflect that God is crazy good. And God, you are crazy good. Lord, thank you for that reminder. I need that this morning. You are crazy good. Maybe this morning, you know, you're ministered to by the reminder by Andrew that we serve a generous God. And that when we are generous people, that we reflect his character and his behaviors, and that has an impact. Father, we thank you that we don't serve a zero-sum God. We thank you, Lord, that your economy is bigger than our economy, that your math is different than our math, that you are able to speak to the mountains and they will move. And so we just contend for that today. Lord, we thank you that as we reflect your character in this city, Lord, you will transform this city, this nation, and this world, because you have disciples that have been sent out, that are on mission, and that are truly about their Father's business. And every time we have church, I'd also like to just always make that opportunity and make sure that we have a chance for people to respond, say, you know, Pastor Chad, I don't know a whole lot about this church thing. I just stumbled in here today because somebody invited me, or I saw you guys were open. But I don't know that I'm a part of God's forever family yet. I don't know that I have ever encountered the Lord Jesus Christ before. And so if that's you here today and you just say, I want in, I want to be a part of God's family, I want to respond to the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died on us on the cross for my sin so that I could have life, so that I could be a part of God's forever family. If that's you here today, would you just be so bold as to just raise your hand? We promise never to embarrass you, but we know that God's moving in hearts right now. That's why we're here. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Anybody else this morning want to acknowledge that and say, I want to be a part of God's forever family. I know that I need Jesus in my life. Yeah, there's another one. Good job. great decision, man. Best decision you'll ever make in your life. That's good. That's good. Well, with these new family members, these folks that are saying that I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, I'd like for you, us as a church, to just respond. And if you would, just echo my prayer if you believe it and you know it and you live it. So we just say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
We thank you that you have come into our life.
Thank you that you've come into our lives.
That when we acknowledge our sin.
We acknowledge our sin.
And we accept your payment for our lives.
Accept your payment for our lives.
That you transform us in an instant.
That you transform us in an instant.
Lord, that your spirit and your life becomes our life.
Your spirit and your life becomes
our life.
And Lord,
we trade off our sin and our dead and our old bodies.
Trade off our sin and our dead.
For a new reality, a new creation in Christ.
A new reality and a new creation in Christ.
And if this is the first time you've ever prayed that prayer, we'd love to talk to you after the service. But the rest of the body of Christ, can we just give God an applause offering for the good that he's doing here, the good that he's doing in Erie, the good that he's doing around the world? Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good. Well, because I'm kind of the new guy on the block here, again, I don't know how you guys close out your services, so I'm going to just ask you guys to stand up with me. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being here at North Rock this morning. I hope you guys have an incredible weekend, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Be blessed, and remember that we are going to be a church. Let's show more go.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.